We are. Welcome, everyone. We've got quorum, so we'll go ahead and move and call this meeting to order. Mario, I bet you have a flag in your classroom. Would you mind doing the Pledge of Allegiance?
Do not, actually. But
I will do. Shocking.
I know.
I'm writing the superintendent immediately.
Please do. It's still in storage.
Race theory.
All right. Everybody put your... Begin. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hopefully you didn't get any unusual stares or glances in Oaxaca. Right.
My little corner here, so...
Right. Fantastic. Let's go ahead and get a council roll call, please.
Sure. No problem. All right. Vladimir Anderson. Eric Duane.
Here.
Alexis Federico. Alexander Gonzalez.
Present.
Alex Maslin. Robert McDonald. Mario Munoz.
Present.
Marcos Villa.
Marcos?
His lips moved. He unmuted. Yep, we can't hear you.
He's present. And Stephanie Wade.
Present.
We do have quorum.
Awesome. Just remembering, too, that before we move into public comment, was also given a report from Vlad, just remembered, that he will be heading to Panama to be with his mother, who is ill. So everybody keep him in your thoughts and prayers. Let's go ahead and move into public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the council regarding any items of the subject jurisdiction. Provided that no action is taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law, and comments shall be limited to 3 minutes, unless I set a different limit, which I don't think I will. Do we have any public speakers?
We did not receive any requests via email, and we do not have any attendees in the public attendee room at this time.
All right, thank you. So we'll go ahead and move on to item number five. Item number five is our big item topic this month. We weren't able to get a resolution in time, but we can definitely bring this up next month. I think that this topic of resettlement of IAVA type supporters who are from those countries of Iraq and Afghanistan, and one could probably even take Syria to some extent as well. But Stephanie, you want to talk about it a little bit?
Sure. I put it in the context, and I did write a resolution, and I apologize to my peers that I missed a deadline for it to be included. I got caught up with a couple of things last week. But the general gist of it is that I think a lot of people on this call, people like Elena, who's here, and Alex, and certainly Eric, you know, I mean, they owe their lives in many cases to people who are really faithful to the United States when it wasn't even their country, and they were supporting our mission and supporting our troops. And so, you know, a great nation remembers its friends, and it's really important that we do that. And I would say Orange County has a particular role in that, because, you know, we've done it once before, and an enormously important part of our community would be those people that after 1975 emigrated here from our war in Vietnam. And so, you know, I think in that vein, you know, I think we might want to consider a resolution recommending that the supervisors take this up, and, you know, perhaps suggesting that they want to make a public declaration that, you know, this county will welcome our comrades in arms as we did in the 1970s, because we'll be the better for it, and because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, and that's, I've had numerous interpreters, translators on deployments in that region, and I have worked on bringing at least one of them back to the United States. I'm happy to say that one of the other ones from my 2006 deployment, one was a spy, of course, and then one was actually an American Armenian whose family escaped Iraq during the genocide. And so I get to see her every once in a while, which is fantastic, but worked on bringing an Iraqi home, or to his new home in the United States. He's on the East Coast. And I think this is an absolutely fantastic suggestion. And I think that at least I, for one, will wholeheartedly support a resolution to resettle Iraqis and Afghanis who were part of our coalition. The floor is open for any comments, questions, concerns.
Well said, Eric. This is a great opportunity to just highlight their work. I know personally, I was the missions that I've been on were greatly supported by linguists. Without it, crucial intelligence would not have been extracted, saved lives and helped propel the mission forward. So just want to credit Stephanie for bringing this forward, and thank you very much for giving the spotlight to these folks that absolutely matter.
Floor is open for anyone who wants to address. Obviously, we're not doing that resolution this month. Stephanie did craft one, so we'll take a deeper dive on that resolution, see if there's any edits that need to be made, and then we'll submit it in time to be able to bring it to you all next month.
So can I interject with just a quick comment?
Sure.
According to the bylaws, OCVAC doesn't have the authority to do a resolution, but I think you can certainly craft something that would give the Board of Supervisors a head start and would be appreciated if they wanted to craft the resolution to help them with some language. And then
a submission for a supervisor's resolution.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. That works. I think we can put our heads together and craft it. And then how do we communicate that with them? Is that passed through your office to the supervisors?
Okay. Yeah, we can handle that communication with the board. And then if they decide to do the resolution, usually it's presented either at an OCVAC meeting or they can do it at a board meeting. So we can put those recommendations forward as well.
Okay, fantastic. And maybe it'll be my opportunity to, I guess I can take some time off of work and go attend one of those meetings, hopefully not wait 17 hours, but to speak. But we'll see. It'll be great. It's something that I was pretty excited when Stephanie brought it to my attention. I wasn't aware that we didn't have something currently like that because I've seen it all over the place. But yeah, we definitely need to put our hand in the ring there so that we can form Voltron and let them know that we're serious about bringing our comrades to a safe place like the United States. I think they'd be fabulous immigrants, and they definitely have the cause for it, political refugees. So, all right, if there's nothing further, go ahead and move into the executive committee report. So, last month, there was a lot of movement on the cemetery, as we're all aware. There are still some holdouts for the Irvine cemetery, but they're very few. The masses, I think the conventional wisdom is that because Gypsum Canyon is so viable and that they just got $20 million, I believe, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, earmarked for that. That it's absolutely fantastic that it looks like something might be coming to fruition. Who knows how long? I don't know if anyone's heard any projections of timelines, but I think that Anaheim is, if their council and that supervisor, who I guess brought it to us, is able to push that forward. Hopefully we can all see a cemetery before we're old and gray, and then we can start burying our brothers and sisters in their own, pardon my language, daggone county. So I hate to say this, but we deserve a place to bury our dead, our brothers and sisters. I'm tired, and it's not a, I guess it is a little bit of a complaint, but I'm a solutionary too, and it looks like we got a solution here. But I'm tired of driving to Riverside to visit my friends. I shouldn't have to. I should be able to go into my own backyard, you know, and drive 20, 30 minutes. Well, let's be honest, Orange County traffic, an hour to get to Anaheim Hills, and be able to visit my friends without having to drive or fly somewhere. So it's fantastic. That's all I've got. Vice Chair Stephanie, do you have anything?
I do not.
Okay, we'll go ahead and move on to Erica Dancic.
Hey, thank you. Hi, everyone. Just a quick update on the Orange County Veterans Service Office. We continue to push out the work in high volume. So if you saw our big voice, we served over 2,700 veterans, 879 claims. The benefits equated to over $1.4 million that were paid out from the VA in just that month. We haven't validated July data just yet, but looking at the numbers preliminarily, we're going to surpass June data as well. So very busy, but we're proud of the work. Our appointment wait times are down as well. So we are scheduling out until mid-September, but we're in mid-August. So that's still a 30-day window where veterans can get an appointment with a claims rep. And of course, you know, we'll handle emergency appointments for time-sensitive issues. Definitely our office is open for the DMV forms. You know, we have the staff that are all in the office that can handle those emergency type requests as well. And then speaking of the big voice, you know, we've gotten some good feedback that that's a great communication tool, not just for OCVAC, but for the community, for the veterans community throughout the county. We would like to add a feature that spotlights a veteran every month. So it's more than just the numbers and more than just kind of bragging about our own successes. We would like to spotlight a veteran. So we worked with County Council to do a form that gives us permission to release their information that the veteran will have to sign. And we'll start identifying who would be good to highlight in our monthly communication, just from clients that we serve in our office. But it definitely isn't limited to that. So if you come across veterans that you think, you know, we should spotlight, I can send you the form. I can send you the form anyway so that you just have it on hand. And, you know, as you come across people, or even if you yourself want to be highlighted, it will make you fill out a form. But I just think that that would add a personal touch to our monthly communication. Is that you pointing, Eric? It's like the Brady Bunch. And so that's all about that. And then I just wanted to mention that I spoke at the July all-member meeting for the Orange County Veteran and Military Family Collaborative meeting. It was well attended, a virtual meeting. They're hoping to have the next one done in person. But the focus and topic of that particular meeting was on older adults. So I was asked to speak as the director of the Office on Aging for Orange County on what we're doing for seniors in terms of supporting reopening in-person services. And older adults have a very good vaccination rate in Orange County. We have over 87% of seniors in Orange County that have been fully vaccinated. So we've received guidance from the state on how to safely reopen in-person services, like doing the in-person or in-room dining at all the senior centers for the congregate lunch programs, you know, exercise classes, adult day services, all those types of things. So I talked about that as well as the COVID-19 page on our Office on Aging website that has a resource toolkit to support staff and volunteers that are providing services to older adults. You know, they're serving a population that's been isolated for over a year, and now they're reemerging back into community programs. So there's still a lot of anxiety and fear. Trying to provide resources and tools that will help the staff and volunteers in those interactions. So I think it went well. I don't know if any of you were able to attend that meeting, but we also, aside from myself, heard from the VA regarding their caregiver program. So it was good to hear about those updates. And like I said, they're hoping to have the next meeting in person. And I think that's it. I would like to turn it over to Elena and give her some time on my update, because she led an effort to conduct a college fee waiver workshop last week for the community. I think it was well attended, but I'll let her have the floor if that's okay, and she can give an update on how that went.
Thank you, Erica, and thanks, Eric, for the time. Good afternoon, everyone. For those of you who are new, my name is Lena Kim, and I'm the Orange County Veterans Service Officer. Very pleased to announce that last week we did conduct our first online workshop via Zoom. It was on Thursday, August 5th, and we had it during lunchtime, so it was 12:30 to 1:30, because we wanted to allow for folks like students to be able to attend. So during this workshop, presenters from the Orange County Veterans Service Office shared information about eligibility and the process of applying through the county's online submission portal for this state benefit. We had about 45 to 50 participants online via Zoom. It was the active participation. We had a lot of questions coming in and tried to leave time at the end of the presentation for a Q&A session. And then afterwards we sent a follow-up with slides as well as kind of a checklist for folks who are looking to apply for the benefit. So it was a very successful workshop. We hope to continue to fine tune it in terms of the presentation and the information that we give out in the future, and hopefully have another one soon. Once we can fine tune it and we're comfortable with the information that we're giving out, we would definitely look into the possibility of recording it and putting it on our website as well. So that's a goal for the future for us. When we get a date for our next one, I'll be sure to share it with the team, but that's all I have for now. Thank you.
That's fantastic. Thank you for that. I know that, I don't know if anybody here besides me has college age kids, but that fee waiver program is an absolute, well, money saver, lifesaver, whatever you want to call it. And currently my eldest child, who just graduated with two bachelor's degrees, overachiever that she is taking a gap year and is going to go right back to grad school. So fee waiver, here we come. It's so exciting. So thank you for that, CalVet. So awesome. Speaking of which, item number 8, CalVet Link update, Ben Gales.
All right. Thank you, sir. I just wanted to briefly comment on that too, Elena, that presentation. You know, it's. I just talked to a guy who called me today at 10 a.m., you know, a veteran, trying to figure out how the program worked, trying to navigate online resources, and was just having difficulty, you know, and really needed, whether it's a person or an online presentation, to break down what can be a really complicated process for someone who's just getting going, you know, especially, you know, what you covered, you covered a lot of stuff brilliantly, but, you know, especially get into some of the income issues for dependents and the income limitations and, you know, what constitutes adjusted gross income, and, you know, what are those limits? And, you know, what do you have to do if you don't have income? And even getting into the details of how you can best secure a non-filing letter, you know, by going to the franchise tax board, you know, it's really that level of knowledge coming from the office is just really outstanding. And it also reminded me of something that the head of our CalTAP program talks about sometimes, which is, you know, the more that we can do these presentations to educate folks, the less they need to call, the less they need to email the office. You know, it improves efficiency and time for staff, whether it's CalVet or the OCVSO. And so a lot of value in it from that perspective too. So I think kudos to you and the team for, I think, finding something there that I think will be super beneficial going forward too. And I think the only other thing I wanted to comment on was just going back to the general meeting of the collaborative. You know, Erica did a fantastic presentation on Office of Aging. And one thing that stood out to me at that event, I don't know if anyone else was there, was the presentation by the VA. And there was someone that spoke about the VA caregiver program and a range of other VA programs for senior veterans. And, you know, what's always interesting to me, what happens with the VA more than any other entity for me when I hear some of their presentations, is I think, wow, I really didn't know enough about that. And, you know, wow, the community here, I think a lot of people, I think it's fair to say, probably don't really even know some of those programs exist. I think that's true with them more than any other entity. And I think the more that we can continue to try to bring the VA into the fold, you know, to make sure we know about their programs, to make sure we have those personal relationships. That's the other piece of it, you know, is knowing who the contacts are and those entities, I think the better we'll do. And I think the broader, the Orange County Veterans and Military Families Collaborative is trying to do that. I'd highlight that concept for OCVAC if that's of interest. And I think really for the whole community. That's all for me.
Thank you, Ben. We'll go ahead and move on to the next item. Dr. Kevin Alexander, OC for Vets update.
Thank you, sir. And good afternoon, everyone. Good to see you all. In terms of behavioral health services on the healthcare agency side, we are managing the new state mandate that's come down for all of our providers and employees that are working in the clinics to be vaccinated or obtain a qualified waiver if they meet criteria for the qualified waiver. So that's just fun and exciting. we have most of our staff is actually vaccinated. It shouldn't be a huge issue for our team, but I know there are some hoops that some of them are gonna have to jump through. So it creates a little more work for us. Outside of that, we are very busy. We have instituted a wait list for the program. It's a short wait list. Most people are waiting maybe a week at two at most before we can get their initial appointment scheduled. But we are putting names on that wait list. We still are managing any critical incidents that come our way, but for our clients that don't have any emergent needs, we are holding off on engaging in treatment and starting treatment for about a week or two. We are, with the availability of increased funding through MHSA, we are exploring opportunities to expand behavioral health services for veterans. So there are a couple options on the table. As those kind of flesh out and we get more confirmation and movement on those, I'll bring those to the meeting and share that with all of you. I don't want to do so prematurely. There's a few things that we're looking at and trying to create, but it's going to take a little work. So as it happens, as we may get movement on that, I would expect that we're going to see one or two new programs for our veterans. So, and one of those may be actually an expansion of existing program, but looking at serving our veterans who have more significant behavioral health needs and aren't able to access resources otherwise.
It's exciting, Kevin. Thank you. Well, we're looking forward to reports. Hopefully those things come to fruition and get more services offered to our Orange County veterans. So we'll go ahead and move into standing committee reports unless there's anything further. Both Alex and Vlad are out, so I will pass on some information. Alex, as I mentioned earlier, Alex Maslin is a Newport Beach police officer, and he reached out to me and let me know he was involved in an arrest, not his arrest, of course, but he probably wouldn't make the meeting. And then our good friend Vlad is in transit, I believe, to Panama to visit his mother, who had a surgery and it didn't go as planned. So like I said earlier, please keep them in your thoughts and prayers. But some of the stuff that was reported to me, next month, we're going to have a Veterans Crisis Response special speaker and licensed clinical social worker, Shannon Teague. And Shannon Teague, I think that Alex may have met Shannon on the job, and she works for the Veterans Mental Evaluation Team, VMET, out of Long Beach VA Hospital. So that's a VA person that's going to come and speak next month. We'll make sure that we get that reported in. I'll follow up with Alex to make sure that that gets on our agenda. Let's see what else. I don't think I have anything further for standing committee. So before we move into council comments, I would like to introduce Marcos Villa. Marcos, I don't know a whole lot about you. I didn't get your bio. So please take this time to introduce yourself to your OCVAC members. Tell us about yourself, what branch you served in, what you did, and so on.
All right. Well, AquaVac team, thanks so much for helping me come on board. And I appreciate you making this space. I'm looking forward to serve with some great leaders out there. A little bit about myself, so I'm a former prior service Marine. I served for 8 years. And in that time, 4 years were spent with aviation supply chain management. So I was part of supply chain logistics. 2 years of that time were spent with military police, augmenting out for work. And the other within the other 2 years, I had one trip over to OIF. I was really there for the degradation of the work. So I was really there to bring home as many troops as we could. So I was part of systems management. We would go in there with Lean Six strategy and basically just trying to find different methods and techniques that we can utilize to enhance production and to bring down the demand for human service. Back in the States, my last 4 years were spent cozied up in the corporate side of work. So I moved into financial management and got into just kind of overseeing pack ups, helping out to select for deployments. I worked with the squadron at the, well, just like any other sergeant out there. I see we got Munoz over here. So, I was just managing squadrons, just getting troops ready for deployment. Everything from shooting training to, physical performance training. Which got me on to where I went next. So coming out of the Corps, I, just like a lot of other vets, I had some hurdles to get through. And part of overcoming my challenges was getting reformed, getting re-educated, and getting reintegrated back into the community. And that's the value that I bring to you today. So along my service, I've always worked with Toys for Tots. My last 4 years of service, I started getting involved with Toys for Tots Native American. And essentially just developing supply chains to help to bring, toys to kids in need during Christmas. And for my last unit, MAG 39, I helped to establish a Toys for Tots program out there. Highlights of that program, the first year we were able to sponsor Del Mar Rio Elementary School just outside of the base. A majority of those students, they belong to underserved demographics, and holidays can be tough on those individuals. And fortunately, we were able to sponsor the entire school, giving each kid gifts. Those are the types of activities that I generally find myself most active and productive in when it comes to doing the social work. So just to advance forward in everything that I do now, I work together in parts of Orange County and Los Angeles, primarily in the urban areas and the high population zones, helping to develop educational programming. And part of that is also job searching. So by day, I'm a program director. I run a school for people with development challenges, primarily focusing in on autism. And, it's really all that it is getting somebody the mentorship, the technical skills that they need, and then distributing them back out to the world. Not very much different than our former lives. And part of that, I'm also working together with a few youth service groups in culinary today and some in tech, where basically we're going into the city and just trying to find how is it that we can get more kids on academic pathways. If they're not interested in academic pathways, how can we help out with the professional skill development? And really just trying to help make sure that our kids have the resources that they need so that they can succeed and go on to benefit themselves and our country in the future. I'm a prior service vet, just like the rest of them. I'm here to serve. I'm about the mission. I like good work, and I appreciate working with great leaders. And thank you again.
That's awesome. Welcome, Marcos. A quarter of us are in education, so greatly appreciate the efforts that you're making in that inroads. My wife is actually a behavioral therapist with mild severe autistic kids in the Westminster School District, and I work at Cerritos College in Norwalk, and I'm also co-chair of the VetNet Ally program here on campus. But it is just awesome to see all of the efforts that prior service folks are doing out there. So thank you for what you do. You are at home here. We've got Naval veteran Robert McDonald, Bobby. We've got Army veteran Alexander Gonzalez. And I would be remiss not to mention Elena
Kim's own.
What's that? Oh, are you Navy?
Navy.
Never again volunteer yourself. Okay. And then we've got Elena, who is our Army Intel veteran. She's our VSO, Veteran Service Officer for Orange County. But we are pretty deep Marine OCVAC here. So Stephanie was an infantry officer. I just retired last year after 30 years active duty and reserve as a Seaburn officer. So I was a 5702, but I was also a company commander in the artillery. We've got all kinds of different experiences here on this board. And now that things are opening up, we've got to start getting together and chatting outside of obviously decision-making circles so that we can kind of get an idea as to what each of us brings to the table and how we could reach out to our communities and constituencies. So I appreciate that very much. So welcome. Welcome, Marcos. Anybody? Let's just move into item 11, council comments. We'll go around the floor. Vice Chair Stephanie Wade.
Thanks very much, Eric. I've got a couple of things that I think are really for the good of the order. First, though, I want to say welcome to Marcos. Really happy, you know, we want to make sure that Marines dominate at all times.
Absolutely.
That Bobby stays pissed off. No, I'm teasing. Bobby, you know we love you. No, but, you know, it's Southern California. You can't shake a stick without hitting a Marine. But in any event, some of the things I wanted to mention is I was just texting with my former boss, former Congressman Cisneros, and just this morning he was confirmed as Undersecretary of Defense for Readiness and Personnel. And I just wanted to highlight it for, you know, for this group, because there may be some opportunities to work with him on some things that really matter to us, even things that will eventually affect veterans. And I will tell you that this committee did some work, some really important work, I thought, supporting the problem of LGBT discharges and upgrades. And I know that's very much on his mind. And I'm on a working group with some folks in LA trying to advance that. So we're thrilled that he's there because his office is going to deal fundamentally with that. But there are a number of other things that you should think about in terms of having, we now have a friend, and maybe if there's something you want to reach out, I can try and help grease the skids a little. But you know, military sexual assault is going to be one of his biggest areas. Another is going to be you know, minority affairs on the active duty force, particularly in the officer ranks. I know he's very concerned about and has worked on Latino officers in the general officer ranks. They're just not getting promoted, and it's sort of obscene because they're such an enormous part of the force. And you know, it's really because they haven't been as organized as maybe some of the other groups. And he's looking at doing something like Dockowitz for all minority groups. You know, that's the famous commission that's worked on supporting women in the military, which hasn't been perfect, but it's been considered one of the most effective models of really instituting, you know, effective change in the ranks. And I know he's also really interested in readiness of the force, and in particular, the problem of recruiting people who are fit to serve. And that's been an enormous problem. So all those things are on his plate. And so if you have something that you think should go his way, please let me know and I'll try and help. The other is I wanted to thank Eric for bringing Shannon in, and I'm gonna reach out to Vlad and Alex. I know Shannon, yet another Marine, Bobby, but he's just stewing over there. But no, the veteran mental health evaluation teams, it's run by two officers on the VA police at VA Long Beach, as Eric said, but they work locally with the Orange County Sheriffs, and they actually do, they do a lot of work with Newport Beach PD. So, you know, I think that that Alex will be familiar with them. But, you know, since they're Vlad and Alex are resident police officers, I think that they should probably be thinking about what they want to ask or how they can help. And so I'll make sure I do that. I wanted to thank Elena again for the fee waivers. I always remind people that I'm one of the people, I sent my son out of state to go get his college education in New York because I didn't know about the fee waivers. And I was living here in California and he was desperate to go to UCLA and easily could have gotten in, and I didn't send him because it was too damn expensive and I didn't know about fee waivers. So please promote it. But also on that vein, I was hoping maybe when I get done, if you've got any insight on, have you been able to help other other counties automate their process so they stop sending all the work to you all. And the last thing before I ask Elena about that was just, there's an issue about housing. There's some open housing in Los Angeles at Las Rosas Housing in Los Angeles. And they have about 10 spaces that I think they're really frustrated because they're trying to fill. There's no requirement that somebody be a Los Angeles resident. So I'm going to bring it up at the housing meeting this weekend, or I'm sorry, on Monday at the housing working group. But if anybody knows or has a referral, and I'm going to forward these things to Elena as well, there's an opportunity, I think, to get somebody housed pretty quick. In fact, up to like, I think they have 10 boat spaces for veterans in need of housing. And at the it's not all HUD-VASH either. So even if somebody doesn't qualify for HUD-VASH, if somebody needs to get housed and they're a vet, I think we got a good spot for them. And so then just if Erica, have you made any progress about being able to help other people automate their own process so that you all stop having to do all the extra work?
You mean for the college fee waiver portal?
Correct, yes.
Yeah, so Orange County remains the only county to have an online system. So if there's any barriers to someone having to go to their local veteran service office, they access our portal. And we're still about 16% of all college fee waivers are from outside of Orange County. Yeah.
Let's try and adjust that. I'm going to ask Eric that we try and agendize that and try and talk through some solutions, because we don't want, you know, Elena and her people getting bogged down and doing other people's work when they can simply automate themselves. So let's see if we can.
Yeah, I think I would sit tight on that for, because I may have an update within a month or so. We are in conversations with CalVet. They're making some changes to some of their requirements, which we then have to build into our system. So it's just generated a lot of interest from CalVet on our system. And we told them, come to Orange County, we'll give you a demo, we'll show you how this works for us. If you think that the entire state can use it, we'll sell it to you for a dollar, because that's how much we believe in our program, the security of it, just how user-friendly it is, and how it really just does help with efficiency for the whole benefit. So we're in talks. I will say no other county has it yet, but CalVet is very interested in our system.
You rule and you're heroes. Chair Duane, sorry it was so long, but thanks very much. That's all I got.
Fantastic. All right. How about we got Bobby McDonald?
I'm sure glad that you guys really understand that your house is in the Department of the Navy. So I don't have a problem putting all the Marines being here.
Defense Department.
Yeah. Well, returns. Okay. Returns Department inside the Men's Department. Okay. Anyway, having said all that, you're not going to win. The bottom line is a couple other things. First of all, I want to say that we've been moving forward with Valor, and we've been going to quite a few city council meetings in the last couple of weeks to get the city councils put together a resolution supporting the Veteran Cemetery in Anaheim Hills, Jimson Canyon area. So we've been doing that. If you don't know, we received $20 million from the Board of Supervisors to help with the move the agenda along for the county site for veterans, and that's a big boost. But now we're getting and we have tons of people that have been supportive from the different American Legions, VFW, AMVETS, UDAV, you name it. But we've been working with it. But basically, right now, we're going through the different cities. For your information, there are 12 cities in the county that have veterans on their city council. We have three mayors and two mayor pro tems. So we're working all those right now. The second thing that I wanted to bring up was that as of the 30th of July, the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Mr. McDonough, Secretary McDonough, came into the group and put the word out that he had a program called IDEA, which was I'm trying to think of the acronym, but anyway, it's got diversity. Oh yeah, inclusion, diversity, equity, access. There you go. For the VA, and he called everybody in and said they had 120 days to come up with a report on how to get IDEA into formation. I do not have a copy of the report yet because it wasn't due until the 30th of July, a couple Fridays ago. But that was his mandate. And I know that they're working on it. And I know that I've been on a couple calls, especially with the Black fraternities and sororities, try to get more involved in those kinds of things called Panhellenic. So we've been doing that. And then the other thing is, and a highlight was the Secretary of Labor came out to Orange County, and he had his people put together a roundtable. And they called the head Navy guy and asked him to be prepared to do an employment and diversity piece for the Secretary of Labor. And we had this roundtable at UC Irvine. Yes, we had a Marine on the panel, and we had a couple others, but it was only 8 people in the roundtable, and it went very, very well because it had to do with diversity and also with employment for veterans. And so it was pretty nice. It went for a couple hours. And all I know is I get word back that they may want to do something like this again because it went that well. We did have members of the Hispanic Chamber and members of the Vietnamese Chamber, of course, the Black Chamber. And so we had the different people in the community involved. And that was pretty big highlight to have the Secretary of Labor come out. And the gentleman that set this up, Mr. Julian Purdy, he's the chief of staff for veterans employment and training for the Department of Labor. So we're in the Department of Labor. They kind of like what I did. So other than that, ain't crap happened.
Very nice. Thank you for all that heavy lifting you've been doing. Mario Munoz.
Here we go. Yeah, I just want to highlight two main things. Coast Guard Day was August 4th, as well as August 7th being Purple Heart Day. Those are two things I wanted to cover.
Awesome. Thank you. Alexander Gonzalez?
Yes, very briefly, I just wanted to highlight the news that we received from Erica regarding the new VSO hire, Jessica Castro. So I just wanted to welcome her aboard to the VSO and wish her success in her new endeavor and role. That's all I have. Thank you.
Fantastic. And Marcos, if you have any other things to say, now is your chance.
Nothing more to share. I'm still just kind of learning and absorbing everything. And thank you again, everybody.
Fantastic. Welcome to the team. Just a few parting items. Just wanted to congratulate Mario Munoz again for his new job as a biology teacher at Santa Ana Unified School District at the Reach Academy, which he is an alum of, which is fantastic. It's always neat when you can go back to where you got your start. So proud moment for the team and your achievement and accomplishment. So thank you so much. Other than reporting out what we already have, on a personal note, Private Dwayne is now PFC Dwayne and still in 29 Palms working in the mailroom. He has not started school yet. So he's going to be an electronics repair guy, 2800 field for those who are in the know. That's all I've got. If there's nothing further, let's go ahead and for it, Kevin.
Stephanie, your housing opportunity, can you send me information on that? I sent my email address over to you in the chat section. I am closely connected to our veteran housing system, so I will have the opportunity to get that info to where it needs to go, and we can do some good with it.
Forwarding it right now, and I'll put Elaine on that as well, so she has it.
Great. Thank you very much.
You see me as well. I guess that's what that message from Elena was. Don't forget Kevin. I didn't hear that. So thank you for catching that. I appreciate it.
Reminding us that Kevin's a vet, no?
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, talk about yourself.
I'm a family member. Yeah, I'm a military brat. I grew up on the bases and bouncing around.
My mistake, Kevin.
Yeah, no. It's father was Air Force, uncle was Air Force, grandfather was Navy, and granddad was Royal Marine. So,
Royal, nice. Yeah,
I ended up a doctor and just tried way too late and wasn't able to make it happen for myself. But
and proud they are, I'm sure. That is quite an accomplishment. And thanks for all that you do. All right, folks, there being nothing further, we'll go ahead and move to adjournment. Have a wonderful day. Oh.
Actually, do have two items.
Save sorry. Browns? Okay.
Two events coming up, August 21st and August 22nd. Team Red, White, and Blue is doing a Surf's Up event. This is going to be at Huntington Beach. The activities are surfing, swimming, beach games, yoga, bonfire, and beach cruise biking. This is an organization that you can join for free. You get a free shirt that says Team Red, White, and Blue.
RWB, yeah.
And just kind of veteran community. If you're into the physical activities, which is kind of one of the main things that they do. The second event is August 27th, the 40th Division Korean War Vet Reunion, and this is going to be at the Hilton Irvine OC Airport. August 27th, the 40th Division Korean War Vet Reunion at the Hilton in Irvine, Orange County. Airport. And that was it. I believe those were the two main events. Also, I met with Vlad, we talked, and we figured out that we're going to do or use the district annual reports to call all the organizations within those separate districts. And that's how we can kind of bring in all the events if they're occurring in Orange County together, so we can have a accurate, more broad report next time we meet.
All right, Mario, if you could send that information on the Korean War Veteran event to Elena Kim. She dropped her email in there.
Will do.
If you don't have it, let me know. All right, are there any further information that we want to pass? Thanks for that, Marcos. All right, we'll go ahead and move to adjournment. Everyone have a wonderful week. Take care.